Speaking of reliability. Friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schenk. You know, we're sitting here recording, and we did get a question through the sendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And I like this. We're getting more and more of those questions, so this is a good thing. I guess that means we have at least one listener out there, which is great. It's funny. It's, you know, we go to a conference, or even I was at a client last week, and they go, oh, I listen to your show all the time. And I'm like, well, did I get the consulting job because of that? Or was it, you know, and they asked a few questions about stuff. And I was like, do you have any questions or topics for us? And, oh, no, you guys are great. Just keep it going. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, just as a side, before we get into our topic, you just triggered a thought here. When I teach, you can say, class, are there any questions? And maybe one or two people raise their hand in a class of 20.
Right.
And or you can say, in a few minutes, I'm going to be going around the room, and I would like to get a question from each of you. And everybody has a question. It's sometimes people have questions that they haven't even surfaced to the top where they're asking them. And so allowing some time to think about it, that type of thing. So when I do tutorials now, I always start out with, I'm going to be leaving time for questions, and I want you to be thinking about it. Then I remind maybe a couple of times during the tutorial. And by the time we're done, there's just tons of questions.
Yeah, you're setting the expectation for questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So we can do that with our listeners.
Yeah. We're going to stop talking.
Yes.
Unless there's questions.
Actually, we do have a topic.
And yeah, we do.
This topic builds off of the previous one. So if you've heard the previous, SOR podcast, then we're building on that, because the previous one talked about the ultimate goals for a career path. Is it reliability engineering technical expertise? Is it an executive path within the company? Is it eventually becoming a consultant? That type of thing. And this particular question built on that and said, well, what about MBA or PMP, which is Project Management Professional certification? And are those good paths to take? And what are the pros and cons of those in relation to reliability engineering? So just a fascinating subject.
Oh, definitely is. Yeah. And it's, now I'm going to bash PhDs right off the start here. And it doesn't, okay. It's not just reliability engineering ones. And I think we've talked about it before, Carl, at one point or another. I've met and worked with absolutely brilliant PhDs in whatever field they're in that they are good. They ask good questions. They are astute at what they're doing and what they're focused on. And it was in many cases, I didn't even know they were a PhD. You know, it just wasn't in your face. And I've met a handful, I'd say more than a handful, of others that walk in and say, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm like, really? You know, yeah, I'm a doctor of, you know, whatever, engineering and this, that, and the other. You can address me as doctor. And it was like, in your face. And then they're so narrow and so shallow, and they had stopped learning once they finished, got their degree, that they were worthless. And I've seen extremes on both ends, and it's a degree or a certification in and of itself is not the goal. It's what you do with it.
Exactly. It status is not the goal.
Right.
The status is something that might be conferred upon you by others, but it's certainly not something that you aspire to. What you aspire to is knowledge, capability, competence, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really important point. I wouldn't go for any degree from the viewpoint of status. I'd go from the viewpoint of skills and knowledge and capabilities and future opportunities from that aspect. So yeah, very good point as kind of a higher level subject than just the specific degree.
That's right. Now, the question that we got was specifically about, you know, does an MBA, a Master's of Business Association, or a PMP, the product or process management?
Project management.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I can see that how those fit in. And there's many others, too, that supplement. And I think the issue is to me anyway, is that reliability engineering is so broad that we can get into so many different aspects of product development and product stewardship and asset management and maintenance practices that we need a lot of skills. Very, very
yes,
broad.
Yes, indeed. I see certifications in a different realm or different space than I see advanced degrees. Mm-hmm. And PMP is a certification. So you're basically going to be certified that you're a professional in project management, which is a very good skill for reliability because reliability often integrates with project management. And so the whole subject of certification, whether it's ASQ, Certified Reliability Engineer, or other types, there's lots of different certifications, and mm-hmm. and some of them have better opportunities than others. Though that's a path of enhancing your capability in your current field. When you get to MBA, this is one person's opinion, but I would think you'd want to be on a management path if you're going to get a master's in business administration. Yes, it can certainly help and supplement a reliability engineering career, mm-hmm. but it also is an enabler to other types of management or going further up in the management path. So I think you almost want to have settled in your mind as to what your juncture is. Are you going in is reliability engineering and then becoming better and better in the technical aspects like we talked in the other podcast, or are you on a path of management, in which case then there's the MBA and there's other types of, not just the MBA, there's other business degrees that are very supportive of a management path.
That's right.
Those are off the top of my head.
Well, then you can do something. Tim Rogers, who's a regular contributor to Ascendo Reliability in the podcast, is he teaches classes for supply chain management, which is part MBA, part supply chain risk management, and part reliability, because it's such a big part of the quality and reliability aspects of it. There's so many hybrids, and if you got the bandwidth and ability to go after various degrees and so on, it's the ones that push you a little bit. You know, I have an idea just in my head, since I've been avoiding this serious management track for most of my career, is that I'm quite sure the first MBA class I take, it would be, I don't want to do this.
So, right.
And I haven't done that. And mostly because I'm really not interested in becoming a senior manager of an organization. The skill sets, though, the ability to connect what we do to business objectives and to talk in management speak is critical. I think that is a skill to have,
yeah.
Whether or not you get an MBA. MBA is a path to get those skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, I think you're right. It's the enabler. It's a resume part that may open some other doors because it signals that you are interested in management positions.
It does. It does. The thought went right through my head there. So let me see if I can get it back. The path that you take can be an MBA. Let me just say it this way. An MBA, there's so many different qualities of MBA. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go that path, do your research. Get connected with a good university, a good program, a good college that has a program that is substantial and has good results. Research the instructors because today you can get online a lot of different degrees. And some of them have more value than others. And that's really the point that I wanted to make.
Yeah, well, it's the same for reliability engineering, though, if you want an advanced degree in a master's, right? Because there's University of Tennessee focuses on asset management and maintenance reliability practices, right? And it's a full-on master's and PhD program, but their focus is on asset management and maintenance reliability, whereas University of Maryland is more on the product development side. More so. And it obviously, they overlap tremendously. Arizona had a program that was more on the aerospace, in mechanical aerospace realm of things under Dr. Casey, in more statistical theory.
Yes,
seen
indeed.
Some of his stuff. Arizona State is more on wafer fab and silicon development type reliability programs. And it goes on and on and on. There's dozens of programs out there. And the same for MBA programs. You don't want to, if you're looking to enhance your skills to be a career reliability professional, then a program that's focused, an MBA program that's focused on stock market trading, you know, and financial technology for Wall Street is a bit far afield from how another program that we've focused on product development type of decisions that businesses need to make.
Yeah, the devil's in the details. Absolutely correct. I have countless people I know that have gotten MBAs that did not, in the near term, did not advance their careers. Mm-hmm. Now in the longer term, of course, anything you do is going to help your resume, your skill set, your awareness, knowledge, but it isn't an automatic. In other words, you get the degree and it doesn't mean suddenly you're launched into a new career.
That's or, right. Or a it's promotion. It's the same with certificates, right? Or mm-hmm. certifications. If you become a professional engineer in the States or chartered engineer, like in Canada or in England and in other countries, it gives you a license to sign documents. It doesn't mean that anybody's going to ask you to.
Yeah.
Right. You get a CRE. It's a lot of work. It's a huge body of knowledge, and it doesn't mean you're going to get promoted. What it does do is stretch you to master a broad set of knowledge. And the same with the PMP. There's a lot of moving parts in project management and mm-hmm. understanding the tools and capabilities. The proof comes in when that you've learned about it and then you've taken a test that shows that you, at that moment you've mastered that material or had a command of that material. It really is then how you use it. You go, oh, there's a tool that's perfect for this situation. Let's do this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You teach the rest of the group how to do it and you move on and you solve the problem or you move forward. It's being able to fit the education you have, the skill sets you have, the tools and techniques and capabilities and the thought processes that you learn from a degree or for certification work to actually solve problems. And that's where it becomes useful.
So it's a both. In other words, part of that career advancement is your personal desire to enhance your knowledge and to go out and to use your knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then the getting certified advances that, doesn't take the place of it. In other words, the certification doesn't create that drive that is internal in people. I do think certification is a good idea. I like people to get certified in any field. It's a midway step. It's like a half step to an advanced degree. Mm-hmm. Or you can get an advanced degree and a certification, which makes it more specific. Right. So I like the concept, and I think it's a good thing for people to do. When you go to when you're considering an advanced degree, that's even more broad. In other words, like Fred was saying, like you were saying, Fred, you can get an advanced degree in manufacturing processes, and there's a whole set of fields that you can focus on. And so you want to have some idea of your career path to do your advanced degree, so your degree aligns with where you think you're headed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that's happening today that we, Carl, you and I didn't have available in early in our careers is the online university programs like EDX, which is free, mm-hmm. right? There are, I don't know, I need to do an inventory of it. There's at least a dozen statistics classes, right, that are university level data analysis and statistics classes. And there's dozens of project management courses and programming language courses. And there's more and more where you can pay a small fee and get a certificate for that course. And they have mini degree programs. You know, here's a bundle of five or six courses that gets you recognition from Harvard University or from Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley or wherever. There's dozens and dozens of campuses involved. The other part that I like about the online stuff, it's not just EDX, there's Coursera and Udemy and others, mm-hmm. is that it's flexible. You can do it when you can. It's online a lot of times. But you can sample. I'm taking courses on developing courses, online courses, or presentation skills, or on material science topics. And I even took one from University of Adelaide on wine growing and wine viticulture and so on. My wife and mm-hmm. I took that one together. The first homework assignment was set up some, here's some recommendations for wine and to go do some tastings and grade them. So that was, it was great. Tough homework.
yeah.
But I think the advantage now is that you can sample a bunch of different types of coursework and programs and areas that you're interested in. And it's how I ended up with my master's degree, is that I started taking these online courses that were offered through my company in partnership with the local university. And I ended up being halfway to a master's degree, and I ran out of courses available to take through the online program. And so I had to go on campus to finish out the coursework that I was interested in. I ended up only taking one course I really wouldn't have wanted to take other than I was getting a degree. And to be honest, I don't think it wasn't applied. It was stochastic theory. And mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever used that deliberately anyway.
But you're bringing up such an important point here, which is, and this has to do with motivation. The self-study should always be part of a career path. Mm-hmm. You don't have to limit your training and education to official courses that are at a university or an official certification program. You can supplement that with ongoing self-study. It is so important. I would hope, and it's not always true, I would hope that if you're in the field of reliability engineering, you're interested in the field, which means that you'll take up a book on certain type of modeling, or you'll pick up if you're a little weak on statistics, you'll kind of support that, or you'll do some research on your own in physics of failure and maybe learn more about failure mechanisms. That is the ideal path.
Yep.
For self-enrichment.
Well, and it expands beyond, you know, the things you are talking about, Carl, are the core of reliability engineering. Yet mm-hmm. we also lead teams. So meeting management and
right.
techniques for problem solving and it effective writing, it just goes on and on and on.
Let's state what's very apparent in our field. There are many people in our field that are not real comfortable walking into management meetings yeah. or leading teams.
Yep.
It's not a comfort zone. And the way you build the comfort zone is with knowledge and practice and experience. And what you're saying, and I think it's so true. Let's say you have you're not real good at leading teams. You can learn to lead teams.
Yes.
It's not something that's in your DNA. That's, in other words, you're not limited by your DNA, so to speak. You
that's
can
right.
actually learn the techniques of leading teams, and then eventually you'll be more comfortable doing it.
That's right. And same with presentations. You know, when mm-hmm. I wasn't very good with my very first presentation.
Nor was I.
But it was one of those where I saw it is a skill that I needed to be comfortable with in order to be effective. So many things we have to do is in a presentation, whether it's a small team meeting or to management or to our peers or wherever, it's a path going forward. So whether it's Toastmasters or there's a great course through EDX, I think it's out of Washington University, or not Washington, University of Washington up in Seattle, that was on how to do a presentation. And it had body language and pacing and how to craft a message and how to present. It was a beautiful course. And mm-hmm. I learned so much from it. And I only took that probably a year ago. So it's constant. If you see an area you're not comfortable with, that's an area that if you recognize it's important, don't back away from it. Drive right into it.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a side story, but in aerospace early on in my career, when I graduated from college and went up to into aerospace, I did a lunch and learn series. Mm-hmm. And I was not very good at all, but I was fortunate that a colleague had the nerve to come up to me afterwards and outline all the things that I did wrong. And he just listed them out. At first I felt terrible. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to master those.
Yeah.
And he laid about 10 things that if I looked at the audience more, if I, you know, did whatever.
Yeah.
And I just took some notes and took it in the spirit that it was offered, which is a positive spirit.
Yeah.
And you can learn from it. I was fortunate to have that feedback early on.
Yeah. And that's very, very true. There's that notion of the 10,000 hours to become an expert, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it's not really that. It's getting feedback. So even if you're in a business group and you have a colleague that you trust that will be honest with you, is when you're making a presentation, ask them to take notes. What did you do well and what did you do not well and how did the audience respond? And then talk about it afterwards so that you have that point of reference of how to adjust and change and grow.
Yes, very good. That it takes humility, but it certainly is worthwhile.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. There's so many opportunities today for learning and continuing to learn. And whether you're after a specific degree or certification, so many different areas. And in the question we got, the MBA and PMP are both examples of things that are very supportive of a career in reliability engineering. And it's as are many other things. So thanks for the question. That's the first part.
Be thinking of your questions.
That's right. Yeah. Well, why don't you do that, Carl? Set that expectation for our listeners.
Yeah, please. As you're hearing the podcast, like today, please write down and think about what you would like to know more about. What would be the topics that Fred and I and others could talk about that would aid in your career path? And send them in. See if I got this right, Fred. AscendoReliability.com/go/SOR. And then you look for the where to click.
That's right. There's a form on there. And you can also find us on LinkedIn and a bunch of other places. Well done, Carl. And so that's the idea. Please do join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. So with that, Carl, I think I got a course I got to sign up for.
Okay. Same here.
We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Fred. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.